Hello, how are you?
How are you this morning?
Good to see you.
Can you quickly, let's introduce ourselves.
I'm Izumi from
Honey
News. Izumi?
From where?
From Honey,
oh, Japan.
Honey News Live, but I'm from Japan.
Yeah, I'm Jana from Brazil.
Brazil.
Gail Murphy from Hollywood.
Hello, Gail.
Don Kay from Los Angeles.
Is it Don? Yeah.
Don.
Todd Gilchrist from Los Angeles.
From where?
Los Angeles.
Juan Fernandez, Puerto Rico.
Hello, this LA.
Angela Dawson, originally Washington, D.C.
Well, you're all American, almost from L.A., except for you.
Originally from
yeah.
Panama.
Yeah, so, yeah. Sunday, we're the darkest room, too.
Yeah. We're like...
Puerto Rico bankrupt, huh?
Yeah.
You guys are really fucked.
Yeah.
I went there with Benicio, you know.
No, I was there for the Q&A, yeah.
That is a really weird situation, but that's a minor crisis at the point.
At this point, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the kind of parallel between this and 4th of July.
Yeah.
Strike you as
it occurred to me, yeah. In fact, when we were, after my three meetings with Snowden over those months, when we started to write the screenplay, Kieran and I was thinking how to, you know, that we should stick to the linear structure on this and not make it flesh, but go with a parallel. There was a difference in the Bourne. And Bourne was a complicated book, and we decided to go linear,
mm-hmm.
and from the youth to the to the end there, 76. And here in this case, we wanted the parallel story. We wanted to go back to Hong Kong because Hong Kong is so important. Would they ever publish this? Would they ever release it? That became a point of tension in addition to his own story. So we decided to go seven times to Hong Kong, I believe. Seven. It was actually eight, but seven times. Six. On the sixth time, they released the documents. That was a tremendous relief to them. The truth was that, I don't know, it could have been buried if it had not been for Glenn Greenwald pushing hard to get it out. The Guardian definitely was positive about it, but the Guardian would have been under tremendous pressure from the British government. Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they can close you down. That's a 200-year-old newspaper getting closed down.
So let me ask you, what was Snowden's reaction to your phone call? Hi, this is Oliver Stone. I want to do a movie on this.
Number two,
what were those meetings like? And did he ever say something to you like, okay, we've met these three times already, but at the end of the day, this is what I want people to know about me?
Nothing like that, Gail.
Okay.
First of all, there was no such phone call. I was invited to Moscow by his lawyer. And one of the things that was, he had written a book, a fiction book about him. American defector comes to Russia in exile, running from the intelligence community who are chasing him, meets with a lawyer, and they have a series of discussions in a basement, which never happened. So this is all, but it's a very fanciful but interesting novel. It has Dostoevsky-like long conversations in Russian style about the Orwellian state and what you do to resist this kind of mindset. And it was fascinating, but fiction. I met with him at a first visit in late January, and he was wary, and I was wary, because I didn't know if I wanted to get involved. These contemporary stories are so difficult because things happen, lawsuits, out of the blue, some new news, the current blows another way. We didn't know. It takes a year, 2 years to make a movie. It took 2.5 in this case, so what would happen? And it could have blown up in our face. It still can, by the way. We have 3 weeks to go or 2 weeks to go. So it isn't, I wouldn't recommend it. I waited till Nixon died. No, that didn't happen. I think it took time to get to know each other, break the ice, and we could have gone fiction. I knew that in my head. I always had that option. If I'm going to do this, I could go a James Bond route and make him into a, for example, you could have him eluding pursuers in Russia. Or you could have him even hiding in the United States. He sneaks back in and he hides in Kansas or something. There's all kinds of storylines that you could follow. So that's a possibility. And you can tell the story that way and make these somewhat similar points, right? But as I got to know him, and in that third, I went back two more times to Moscow. By May, I felt like he would cooperate and was giving us very, very interesting information. So I brought Kieran back, Kieran Fitzgerald, my co-writer, and we he shared a lot with us, and he trusted us, and I think he took us all the way through. I mean, basically, we kept going back. I went 9 times to Moscow, so we had several good, very, very, very helpful. And we also talked to the Public Record. I mean, we consulted. There was a lot of journalism. A lot of it was inaccurate. You know, there was a book from The Guardian. Even that was not all right. It's been corrected now, the book. For the record, it's been corrected. There's a revised edition. But there's a lot of things that are breaking news, you know. So it's hard to put that story together that you, from all these sources. We spoke to witnesses. We speak to people who knew him.
Was there something that he wanted you to
No, he never imposed. I mean, he would be critical if there was something, but he never said, no, I want to get this point across. Well, his actions had been his point. Mm-hmm. And he was very modest about it, remember, in Hong Kong and right at that time. He wanted to keep, I mean, if he could have, he had kept his name out of it, but the whole point of the thing was to make himself visible, to say, I did this, and I did it knowingly, and I'm responsible for it. But this is what I believe. My conscience says that there's a higher law than this NSA law. It's my oath to the Constitution. So he had to get himself known. And when he made himself known, that's a key moment. I am Joseph Snowden. No, I am Edward Snowden. I am Edward Snowden on TV. Yeah. That was, I mean, he was giving up everything, you understand? I mean, his family, his, above all, Shailene, Lindsay Mills. And he had to end that relationship. He thought he had to end it, and he did. And then, of course, things turned out pretty well for him because she did stick to him and go back to Moscow.
How quickly did you see Ryan on Joseph as the actor that was right?
First choice, always first choice. I just felt, I didn't know him at all. I had seen him in movies and just felt he could do it. He felt like the guy. Mm-hmm. He's also a computer addicted, it seemed, and had been on the done a lot of Twitter. I just, there was something about him that felt right, the perfect. I never doubted it all the way through. It's funny. Usually you have a little chase with actors, but no one else could have done it, in my opinion, the same way.
Do you see the thematic link between this and films like JFK and Nixon, which dealt with vast sort of shadow areas of the government that we don't really know what they're doing?
That's for sure. That's for, above all, yeah, I think JFK. Definitely shadow areas is a good word. This was enormous revelation that he did. These programs are far more complicated and significant than we even know at that time. I think when you explore, there's so many programs named. First of all, it's very few people can get into that depth. And we learned not only about illegal mass surveillance all over the world, but we also learned about cyber warfare. And he was one of the first to break this news that what we were doing there. And that was, you know, that was Obama's initiative. Boundless, it was called, I think, in that point, it was called Boundless Informant. Well, it's beyond boundless now. It's like it reached insanity proportions. We hacked, we cyber warfare, we declared cyber warfare without admitting it on Iran in 2007 with the Stuxnet virus, which never stopped. I mean, we boasted about it, but the truth was it was a disaster because it kept going. And it opened up the gates on a new weapon, much like the atomic bomb did in 1945, where, if you remember correctly, Truman said, we'll keep this a secret to Oppenheimer. That was bullshit. Oppenheimer said, they'll never keep this a secret. It's going to be found. I mean, people are not stupid. And the same thing has happened with cyber warfare. So we miscalculated on this one again. Mm-hmm. And this is really a terrible weapon. Terrible weapon, because we won't know where the war comes from. We won't know what the electronic interference is. It will just happen. And no one will make accusations, Russia, this, that. But you can't tell, and it's really tough. And what happens is that war results. Ugh. I think Snowden has put his finger on a lot of stuff.
Well, what to you is the value of telling a story when it's sort of not completed? I mean,
that's right.
You in a way,
well, cyber warfare is not completed. But sure. He started, this is a story that's really vastly important, and he put his finger on so much, and people don't realize how much until, because, by the way, most of the information has not been released at his own. A lot of it is stuff that is probably too technical to interest the public, but I think 95-90% of it has not been revealed. So it's not a story you can ignore. I don't normally would go there, because I've told you my fears would be of things changing, but it's happening.
Do
This last time I spoke to you.
She kept asking you.
Last time I spoke to you at the Comandante, which I think I,
thank you.
I haven't seen that.
That was a long time ago, 2000.
Yes, yeah. 2007 or something. About 10 years ago. And after that, now is, you know, Obama finally opened the embassy in the Cuba.
Yeah.
So it's actually, I feel like, oh, you have a part of this changing. That took 10 years, but when you had this news, the breaking news of Snowden, what was your first reaction? What do you, where are you, and what was your reaction? This is like this.
You know, the Japanese, they almost love these little things. I don't know what it is. You always add little things to this. I mean, it's so weird, your culture.
Maybe you can make a movie about that.
Yeah, about Pokemon, right? You guys are weird. Go ahead. Keep going.
So when you first time you had the breaking news about Snowden, where are you and what was your first
breaking news? I was like every other citizen. I think it was quite revelatory, and I applauded it as a citizen, because I think it's transparency is what Obama promised, and it was Snowden who delivered it. It was certainly not Obama. Obama's prosecuted 8 whistleblowers under the Espionage Act, so, you know, he lied, and or whatever you want to call it. He won a lot of votes, and people thought he was a change, but he didn't bring it. So the movie shows you Obama at different stages, if you remember. So you see the whistleblower and the president. But you're asking, the question is, where was I? Yeah, that's where I was. But that's not because I wanted to make a movie. On the contrary, I would stay away from current affairs. It was only because I got that phone call a few months later. Glenn Greenwald asked me to look at his book, and I wasn't interested. The one they developed at Sony Pictures. I was not interested at that point. It was only because of the phone call and a chance to meet Snowden. That's why I went over there. So you understand what I'm saying? It's I don't know what you're getting at, but I'm not chasing the news at all. Avoid these kind of things.
But inevitably, the film is coming out 60 days basically before the election, and of course, you know, you have Hillary shown in this and what she said. I mean, you have her, you know, voice, her image on screen. But you also, there's blame to go all the way around all the different political spectrum. You've got George W. Bush, you've got Obama,
yeah.
Everybody is in this. So do you feel that you've, you know...
We tried to show both the blend of opinions. Mm-hmm. There was obviously an American was negative, mm-hmm. for the most part, majority. And we showed some positive comments like Mr. Bernie Sanders,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Europe, it was much more pro, in Germany especially, much more pro-Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that at
mm-hmm.
that time. No, the reason we didn't think about the election, because, frankly, we were scheduled for May.
Mm-hmm.
To go. We were invited to Cannes, we were going to go out in May, and that Tom Ortenberg of Open Road changed the date
mm-hmm.
To September, because that was a better date for us. Anyway, I'm very happy they did it, because no major wanted to release the movie or to make it. You know, no major helped us. It was Ortenberg and Open Road in the United States. And on the election, what's disappointing, of course, is neither candidate has talked about the surveillance state, much less Mr. Snowden. That's really disappointing. Nor have they talked about the wars that America's involved in, nor have they talked about climate change. It's just an election of in which we're in denial of what's going on in the world. So it's very disappointing. And our movie is really beyond that. And I hope it's timeless. And I think that, frankly, I think the Snowden issue will be remembered in history far more than this trivial election.
Okay.
Thank you so much, everybody. I'm so sorry.
Quickie.
What is it in your DNA that compels you to tell these kinds of stories?
My mom. No, my mom said avoid it. Don't get into trouble. My dad said, I think I have anger.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to tell you, I'm the president of the Bud Carr fan club.
The Bud Carr fan club.
Yes.
You're in it.
Yes, I'm the president of it. Yeah,
you.
I was
Bud
so thrilled.
Bud has worked with me on
so
28 films.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He did a great job on this, too.
Yeah, Bud's always solid. Solid.
Yeah.
Are you having an affair with
no,
him?
No, we're with each
other.
Thank
you.
No, thank
you.
Good friends.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next time you come to
you got a little bunny or something for me?
Give him a button.
You have a button for him?
No.
Oh, the next time you come to the gym.